Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the wrap-up of our Discovering Your Divine Design series. Next week, you won't want to miss it. Pastor Darren is beginning a brand new adult Bible study series on the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We call it Christology, but it's, you know, who is Jesus, why did he come, what did he do, and why does it matter? So you want to take that in starting next week. Pastor Darren in this room. But let me start with a word of prayer today, and then we will wrap up our study from the summer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can be here together in your presence. Lord, you go with us wherever we go, but we come together as a church family to worship you and to encourage one another, and we pray that you'll be present with us again today as we just conclude this series. So be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the very beginning of the course, I published sort of this shape profile, an opportunity for you to collect the data from the various lessons we've had as you've kind of looked back over your life. And, you know, some people, you know, don't spend a lot of time looking backwards. I mean, life's lived forwards, right? You know, like keep your eyes looking out the front window. But there's a lot to be learned from the path that we've trod. Now, if you're a fatalist, and you basically sort of say life is like getting on a roller coaster, and there are ups and downs, and all you can do is hang on for dear life, and hopefully there's a merciful end, well, then you really don't care about what's happened in your past. You know, fatalists don't spend a lot of time looking back. They're just busy kind of keeping on, keeping on. If you are someone who sort of believes that life is kind of just random, and it just sort of happens the way it does, and some people have good things, some people have bad things, and some people have a combination of both, that really life is kind of meaningless, you just sort of, you know, stumble and bumble through it, well, then you're not that interested in looking back, because there's no meaning in looking back. It's only if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you believe that there's a God in heaven who cares about people, has a design for this world and a place for people in his design, that all of a sudden you're thinking, well, listen, I've got to look back and see where has he showed up in my life up till now, and what does that tell me about where he's going? It's people of faith who find meaning in the past that helps them to project into the future. Have you ever noticed that the scriptures are full of information about God, on the one hand, everybody with me, about people, on the other hand, and the relationship between God and people? Is the Bible really about anything else other than God and people and the relationship between them? What happens when they get along? What happens when they don't get along? You know, and those stories are there for our instruction. I was reading a book, rereading actually. I just stumbled across it yesterday by Don Allender, a psychotherapist and a follower of Jesus. Called To Be Told, Your Story, Shape Your Future. That's the name of the book. And he said a couple of things that I thought were worth mentioning. Just, I'm throwing this in as an Easter egg, throwing it in for free. So Dan says this. He says, number one, God is not merely the creator of our lives. He's the author of our lives. God has his hand upon you. He has his hand upon me. He has plans for you and me. He has been busy writing out his story as we've gone along. And so, you know, we haven't chosen where we were born. We haven't chosen the parents that we have. We haven't chosen the country where we were born. There's a lot of things we haven't chosen. And yet God, in his mercy and in his wisdom, is involved with each one of us from the day we were born. Secondly, he says, don't ever fool yourself into believing that your life or mine is a series of random scenes that piles up like shoes in a closet, okay? What we've been trying to do in the course of our Divine Design series is to pull the shoes out and get them organized and find out, you know, what are the things that are still useful. Both your story and mine, he says, have unique characters and surprising plot twists and central themes and tension, suspense, and everything in our life has got significance. Each is an intriguing tale, and none of it is fiction. Our story is truer than any other reality we know. And then he says, thirdly, and he says, this is where things get exciting. When I study and understand my life story, when I look back and track my journey, I can then join God as a co-author of my life. I thought that was brilliant. I mean, that's why we do this. We want to understand, what is God's will for me, and what can I do to get with His will? And together, we map out the direction of our future. So God asks us to take the only life you and I will ever have and shape it in the direction that He has in mind for us. In our deepest longings, that's where we want to be. And then fourthly, and Pentecostals in particular believe this, there is a necessity and a blessing to telling our stories to others. From the earliest day I became a believer, people have been sharing their testimonies with me. And what is a testimony? It is simply a story of what God has done in and through your life. When He's been present, when He has been real, when He has answered a prayer. Sometimes, when there's been a time where He seems like He's silent, that's all a part of our story. And there is something powerful about sharing our story of what God has done in our lives with other people. It's the most powerful tool to spread the love of God that we have. I can't explain or answer all the tough questions that our culture throws up, but as the old saying says, you know, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. I know who it is that has co-authored my life and is working with me day by day. That much I do know, okay? I was blind, but now I see. That's our testimony somewhere along the line spiritually. So through the month of August, we have been exploring together how God may be crafting our story and directing us towards meaningful participation in His kingdom purposes by paying attention to our unique shape. And so we've used that acronym to think about, okay, what do our spiritual gifts tell us? What does our heart or our passions or the things we care about tell us about what God might want to do in and through us? How about our abilities, the things that He's allowed us to be good at, the things that we have cultivated and acquired skills? Our personality. Some of us are bigger personalities than others, but all the personalities are important. And then your life experiences. You know, what can be learned from life? And so we've been looking at, thinking about, looking back, because we believe there's meaning in our past, that God has been in there all the way. And we're wondering, how do these aspects of our lives work together to reveal what God wants to do moving forward? And so the spiritual life profile was a tool to collect your discoveries this summer. And I'm just wondering, have you learned or discovered anything about yourself or what God may be calling you to do for His kingdom? Was there any revelations over the summer? Was there anything that was made clearer to you or new information? Oh, I never thought about that. You know, I'd like you to take maybe 2 or 3 minutes around your table. Okay, putting the pressure on now. And what's the best thing that you've learned from this study so far? About yourself, about God? What's been a significant learning? You guys have been so, and gals, by the way, I got to be careful about that. You have been so faithful in being here all through the summer. And so let's just take a couple of moments. And as you've thought about your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences, is there anything God has spoken to you about over the course of the summer? Just one thing. And by the way, it doesn't have to be, you know, deeply meaningful or, you know, so embarrassing that I can't come back next week for the Christology class, but just something that you've learned along the way as you've been involved in this study. So let's just take 2 or 3 minutes right now and just share around the table. Okay. I hate to break up the discussion, but let me draw your attention back to the front. Thank you for jumping in and sharing so freely. By the way, just for fun, for how many was your big discovery of the summer in the area of spiritual gifts? Anyone? Yeah. Okay. How many, your big discovery was in the area of heart or passion? That was your big discovery over the summer. That was mine, by the way. I'll tell you about it in a second. How many people all of a sudden found out that, wow, I've got natural abilities that I could use for God if I could just, you know, engage those? Anybody? Okay. Okay. How about in the area of personality, where you thought, whoa, God actually has wired me to be really good at doing this or that, or working with this group of people or that group of people? Okay, good. And how about experience? How many people have looked back and said, you know, I never really thought about my life experiences, but wow, it has uniquely set me up to be helpful this way or that way. Anybody have a discovery in the area of experiences? Okay, the lessons of your life. Good, good, great. For me, as I went through the Shape series this summer, it was the heart one that rang the most true to me, okay? Because in the time that I've been here at Broadway Church, I actually have had a personal mission statement. In fact, I'd encourage everybody to have your own mission statement. But my mission statement, as long as I can remember, I've read it in books since, but I'm pretty sure I came up with it first, and people stole it from me, is, you know, the reason I'm on the planet is to help people know Christ and discover who God has created them to be so they can accomplish all God has called them to do. And so every ministry posting I've taken, whether it's been in pastoral work or at the Bible college, I've had this in my mind. This is why I'm on the planet of the earth. I'm here to help people become everything God created them to be so they can accomplish all the things that God has called them to do. And so as I was looking at the ministry of Broadway Church, I was celebrating as the director of discipleship, all the things we've done, the people who have come to Christ in our services, whether it be here or at POCO, the people who have been involved in classes and courses that have helped them take steps forward in their spiritual walk, and people who have gotten to build meaningful relationships in terms of small groups. And I thought, you know, that has taken up a lot of time. But I've always thought, you know, when I look at the scriptures, I just see people walking with people. Yes, there are group things, and those are terrific, and the church needs those. But I thought, who do you call when you don't need a small group, or you don't need a class or another sermon? What you need is somebody who will walk with you through a season. Have you ever been there? I've been there. And so if I looked at the ministry of Broadway Church and I was excited about all that we'd accomplished, it bothered me that we don't really have an intentional way of doing what it says in the Church of My Dreams, which is, I dream of a church where people are intentionally reaching back and helping people further behind them on their spiritual journey. I thought, you know, we do that by accident, but is there any way we could be better at that? And as more and more people come forward looking for people to walk with them, and as I was sharing yesterday, this was a great week in that three people came forward, and they're not really looking for counseling, they're not really looking for teaching, they're looking for somebody to walk with them through a season of life and try to decide what is godly wisdom for this particular circumstance. And who walks with people when they need someone like that? And so this summer when I thought, okay, I've passed my mantle of director of discipleship on to Andy Gabrick, who is now our director of discipleship. And as I sort of geared up for this next season in this new role of leadership development, I thought, finally, this is the thing that has been on my heart for years. I can now just kind of pour myself into it. Okay, and so, you know, we're going to be talking more and more about what does mentoring and coaching and guiding and training look like when it comes to one-on-one or maybe a small group of three or so, microgroups. Could we be more intentional of filling in that space on our discipleship pathway? And what I found out this summer is this really matters to me. This is what keeps me awake at night if I'm awake. This is what I'm thinking about when I'm not thinking about anything else. How can we do this at Broadway Church? How can we just be a church that, you know, nobody sort of ends up being anonymous or is afraid to share what's going on because there's nobody that they think really wants to hear their story? I would like us to be a church where we're tremendously interested in people's stories and willing to walk alongside with them and help them understand what God is doing in their lives. And so as I went through the Shape inventory, I wasn't getting, you know, big fireworks on some of the other areas, but on that one of heart and passion for this season in my life as I approach this next, this was the one that just kept going off, just kept resonating. You know, this is where you should go. And it kind of was an affirmation for me that this is the direction I should pursue. So I looked in the past. I understood what I think my kingdom purpose is here, and I looked ahead at Broadway's ministry, and I'm thinking, how does this all add up towards what I should do next? So just wanted to give you kind of a personal testimony of how this has worked for me over this summer, and I've done this many, many times, but this summer, that was the one that jumped out. That was the big discovery for me, that this really is something I care about and want to give my attention to. While going through the various exercises, if you went through them, and, you know, fulfilling the spiritual life profile has kind of just shorthand on what's going on in my life right now, it really is an exercise in self-awareness. Really, that's what it's all about. It's about listening to your life. It's about paying attention to what's going on in and around you. And self-awareness has at least three dynamics. One of them is submission. And by submission, I'm saying we recognize that as followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Lord of our lives. We are not the Lord of our lives. We have a stewardship of this life that God has given us. But he is our Lord. He's the one who has a purpose for us. And somehow or another, it's involved with being a servant who blesses other people around them, family, friends, people at work. And when you sort of get it straight that Jesus is the Lord and I'm the follower, when you come to that place, you become open to the direction that Jesus has for what he wants to do with our life. As long as I feel I'm in charge of my life, then I'm telling you, the Lord's, you know, point of view just better line up with what I've already decided, what I've already planned, okay? And I'm looking for God to endorse what I've already decided about my life. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there is a sense of submission where you recognize, no, this is not my life. In fact, the Bible says it in so many words. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price, okay? And so self-awareness starts with recognizing God is God and I am not. But God and I have this relationship of love, that he is caring about me and he has a plan and a purpose for me, and I want to, whatever it takes, fall into step, align my life with what it is that he's called me to do. And so self-awareness begins with just recognizing who I am and who he is, and being willing to follow his lead. And then secondly, self-awareness is about devotion. It's about walking with God day by day, because we know that we can come boldly into the throne of grace and find grace and mercy in time of need. Self-awareness realizes, listen, I just don't have it all together. By the way, anybody here does have it all together? Anyone? Okay. Then I'm not alone. When you realize that you don't have it all together, you realize I need God in my life. And devotion, that walking with God, however you work that into your life day in and day out, becomes a part of being in touch with God's heart and being in touch with your own heart, by the way, as he tries to make the new you more and more evident through the power of his Holy Spirit. And then finally, self-awareness involves recognition of being aware of what we're to be and what we're to do as followers of Jesus Christ. It's having some sense of what servanthood means for my life in this circumstance, at this time, in this place. What does that look like for me? And people who are self-aware are able to lean deeply into God's calling on their life and make a difference in the lives of people who are around them. And so self-awareness is what allows us to align our individual lives. If you're following along on your outline, not many blanks today. Our self-awareness prepares us to align our individual lives with God's purpose. And that's why we go through the process of always saying, what has God said to me in the past? What is he saying to me now? Where does he want me to go from here? How can I make my best contribution at this season in my life? You know, those are the questions that followers of Jesus ask. Those are the questions that people of faith ask, because we believe that there is a God in heaven who has a plan, and he's an intelligent designer, and he's got a plan for our lives, and he wants to co-author our story with us so that we can be the people that he wants us to be and accomplish the work he's given us to do. So, God's kingdom purpose is no mystery to any of us. We all know what it is, right? Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And by the way, that was not just said to the 12 disciples, or the three in the core group. That was said to all the assembled disciples at the time. I mean, you know, it wasn't paid clergy that this commission was given to. It's to everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. And so in terms of God's kingdom purpose, somehow or another, he wants me to be involved in what he's doing in making disciples, you know. baptizing and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. I mean, helping people to discover the truth that will set them free and to step into that. That's something that is a mandate that we all want to be involved in somehow, some way. And so when we think of God's kingdom purpose, whatever he has for you to do in particular, somehow or another, it's connected to this mission. And the question is, what's the line I can draw from what God has called us to do collectively to what I can do particularly? Now, we know that Broadway's mission is to lead people to Christ-centered living. Our motivation is that we believe that every person is designed and deserves to experience the purest love imaginable. And we believe that it's true what Paul says in Ephesians, that we're God's workmanship, right? Created in Christ to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. That's where we get this conviction that God has a plan and a purpose. We're all his masterpieces. He are his workmanship. He wants to do a work in our life and use us to bless other people so that he can do the similar work in their lives as well. That's kind of Christianity 101 when you think about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And so God had a game plan for how this was all going to work. And I've given you two paragraphs from Paul on your sheet. And one is from Romans 12, 3 to 8, and one is from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 20. They're talking about the same subject. They bring in different points of view. And what I want to do for the next couple of moments, let's see how much time we have left. Yeah, for the next couple of moments, I want this side of the room to look at the first paragraph, which is from Romans. And I want you to ask yourself this question. What do I learn about God's plan to see people become disciples? What does this verse tell me about how that's actually going to work? What do I see? And you know, don't just look at the particular detail. Step back from it. Look at the principles that are involved in this. And, of course, I don't want to leave you behind. You can look at the second paragraph, which is from 1 Corinthians 12. I want you to do the same thing. Have somebody maybe read it out loud. With your pen or your pencil, maybe jot down things you think are important. But what are some thoughts or ideas about how God is going to get this kingdom purpose accomplished? What do we learn from that passage in Corinthians? So let's take a few minutes right now to talk about those two passages. They're there on your handout. Just try to come up with maybe two or three principles, big ideas, some sense of how God is going to get this work done that we can glean from these two passages, okay? So let's take a couple moments, do that right now. Okay, I haven't given you a ton of time for this short Bible study, but hopefully we've noticed a couple of things along the way. So God has a great commission for his church wherever it is in the world. It is to go into all the world and make disciples. And God has a game plan for Broadway Church, has this local assembly of Christ followers here in the Lower Mainland. And his game plan is what is the Bible calls the body of Christ. This is how he's going to get his work in the world done. So what do we pick up about God's game plan in Romans chapter 12? What were some of the things that you noticed there that jump off the page? Each of us has gifts to offer. Bible's pretty clear on we've all got something to offer in the pursuit of the Great Commission. Yeah. What else? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't just sit on it. Do something with it. What else? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, certainly the imagery of the body has this notion of connectedness. Don't you see that here in Romans as well? We all belong to one another, right? We're not independent. We're interdependent. Has the body of Christ, and we need what everybody brings to the table. As I like to say, we all have snacks to bring to the party, okay? And so we want to do that, whatever that might happen to be. Anything else we picked up from Romans chapter 12 that we haven't mentioned already? Different gifts may come forward at different places along the way, yeah, yeah. Okay, they're all attached to the grace of God and what it is that he's accomplishing. Okay, let's switch over to this side of the room, who has just been desperately to jump in and say something. From that passage in Corinthians, what other things have you discovered there from that passage that stand out to you?
It really hasn't changed. We all need each other. The arms cannot work without
Okay. So he actually kind of fleshes out how that interdependency works. Yeah. What else did you find there?
Thank you.
So the key aspect there is the Holy Spirit is the one who's animating all of this and giving us the influence that we have in various parts of the city. You know, we are all baptized by one Spirit to form one body. And it's an interracial body. Isn't that what he's saying there? Not Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, but everyone who is called by the name of Christ. Together, we have this mandate. What else did you notice from that passage? Anything else you want to add? Okay. That really is important. Like, I'm not a physician. Like, don't let me pretend that you're a physician. But I understand that your appendix has a particular job, which is to protect your body from toxins. Okay. Now, every once in a while, for some of us, our appendix sells out and joins the other side. And at that particular time, your appendix needs to be removed. Okay. And it sort of illustrates this connectedness piece, that every piece has an impact on the health of the rest. And so there's nobody whose participation in the family of God that is unimportant. It's interconnected. We need to work together, you know. We can't just sort of, you know. Well, sometimes I sort of feel my hands and my feet move in opposite directions. But mostly I have them all working together in the same direction. But when it doesn't happen, then I'm going to see my doctor, right? Exactly. Anything else from Corinthians? That was really a revelation to me when I read that passage in Lance Witt's Replenish, where he says, always remember that Christ is the gift and ministry is the wrapping paper. It's never about the ministry. It's about Jesus and how that ministry makes him available so that others can come to know him. Well, I'm going to move along because we're running to the end of our time. So let me wrap up with this. Whenever I visit my aunt's lake house up by Sun Peaks, there's almost always a puzzle on the table, waiting for whoever is around to sit down and put it together. Now, how many people here love puzzles? Okay. For those of you that hate puzzles, we will pray for you. Okay. So when it comes to creating a puzzle, number one, we are wondering, what's the big picture? This has got to be going somewhere. There is a final result, right? Okay? If there wasn't a final result, who would do it? You just got random, you know, we usually do 1,000-piece puzzles. It is just a mess of paper on the table, unless there is some sense to it, okay? I don't know about you, but who here assembles the frame or the outside first? Okay. So it's not just me. I'm not weird. Okay, good. Well, to me, that's, you know, creating the frame gives me some definition to, you know, where this is all going. And then, you know, you start to do things like, well, what colors go together? And of course, the really good puzzle manufacturers put the same colors in 4 different places. Yeah. And what images are connected, right? Isn't that how we kind of work it through? And then when I'm desperate, I just go, what shapes go where? Like, what shapes fit in what place? And all of that combined with focus and patience usually gets the job done. Now, no one piece is the whole puzzle, but the finished puzzle can't be completed without every piece, okay? Every one of them is absolutely essential. And so as you look over your spiritual life profile or maybe some of the worksheets you're doing, there are pieces on the table, and maybe there are some pieces now on the table that you weren't aware of before in your life. And you're thinking, okay, I know what the big picture is. It's this kingdom purpose of God. I've got a framework. It's the body of Christ. But how do I put those pieces together in a way that I'm contributed to the completion of that puzzle? And here's the other thing. I find when it gets to doing puzzles, sometimes you need other people to come in and see what you don't. And again, this is where mentoring, coaching, guiding comes in, because sometimes I need you to help me put the pieces together, and sometimes you need me. But at the end of the day, we're working together towards the completion of God's purposes, okay? And so I put some questions on your outline just to kind of follow up. So I don't have a worksheet, but there is kind of a worksheet on the back to just give you something to think about this week if you wish, you know, what avenues of ministry might best benefit from your personality and experience, what ministry opportunities would allow you to engage, you're most passionate about what ministries could best use somebody with your gifts and abilities. I'll leave you to work that through. But let me give you this one last acronym, again from Eric Ries. He just loves those acronyms. And he says, here are some steps to grasping God's purpose for your life, okay? So, got your pen out? Okay, good. Okay, we're going to move quickly. Number one, G, get with God. This is his enterprise. At the end of the day, you know, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So when you want to grasp God's purpose for your life, for this season, in this place, at this time, get with God, with Christ as your center, envision how God's purpose might involve you and what contribution you can make. Let him kind of guide you by his Holy Spirit. Secondly, realize your kingdom dream. Quiet your soul and envision what God is calling you to be and do. That's been sort of the summary of my summer, is that at this particular season, I know what that kingdom dream looks like for me. I don't know what it looks like for you, but it's pretty clear what I need to, you know, be all in on. And that has given me some clarity as I move into the fall. But you all can have a mission statement of your own. You all can have a kingdom. This is what I would like to do for God. And it's something that he's put on your heart that won't let you go. And somehow or another, I got to find a way to step into whatever that might be. Number, activate your sweet spot. Get engaged with whatever ministry where your shape is best expressed. Sometimes it takes a little bit of experimentation to find that sweet spot. And the wonderful thing about Broadway Church is there's lots of avenues to pursue. To kind of find, experiment, find that sweet spot, and then when you are there, give it your whole heart. Don't just sit on the sidelines, you know, step into the game. Start somewhere, you know, help out with City Reach, whatever. Find some place, if you're not already engaged in ministry, to do something that will kind of help you be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Somebody once said to me, it's very hard if you're stuck to get any forward motion, okay? I'm a sailor, and if there's no wind, you're going nowhere. But when you've got wind, your rudder can take you a lot of different places. When you are moving, the Holy Spirit can guide your ship. When you're static, it's like you're kind of just stalled, okay? You might want to think about, you know, what is my vision for what I'm going to do for God's purpose? Have I ever written down sort of my own personal mission statement? Letter S is seek wisdom. And I don't know, but I'm hoping that there may be even, you know, a handful of people here who God is already calling you to come alongside and be people of wisdom who will walk alongside others, right? The book of Proverbs said, he who walks with the wise becomes wise. And I'm looking for some wise people to serve as mentors, coaches, you know, people who have a heart and a desire and maybe just need a little bit of coaching and a way of engaging that ministry. Because we all need insight from other people. By the way, I don't know if I adopted a mentor or a mentor adopted me. One of the two things happened earlier in this year. And as I'm kind of going through this next season of life, he's given me incredible wisdom and the ability to sort of frame what's going on in my life and make some sense out of it. And I really benefited from that. And then number one, plan your test drive, okay? Wherever you're going to engage the work of God, whatever it might be, get busy, experiment, see what fits. We have this test drive principle at Broadway Church that if you're involved in a ministry and it's not working for you, no problem. We've got others. We'll find a place where you can do something for God and really feel great about doing it. So trust God to guide you through his indwelling spirit. Success in life, really, at the end of the day, is becoming the person God created you to be and doing what it is that God has called you to do. That really is what the dream of any follower of Christ really is and should be. And we're in this together, folks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for each other. I mean, we belong to one another. We are connected to one another. We share the same spirit. We're involved in the same amazing task to make disciples of all nations. And so, Lord, help each one of us to find our unique contribution to what it is you want to do right here at Broadway Church in the Lower Mainland, and help us to lean into that and to work at it with all our heart. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.